Let us pray together. Gracious Lord, we have come together this hour. We have felt your call, and we beseech you, O God, be with us and show us how to worship in this hour, in spirit and in truth. Amen. Stand.
Please stand.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The communion liturgy is found on page 12 in the hymnal, as well as on the screen. Before I give the invitation, I always like to remind ourselves that the Lord's table is exactly that. It's not a United Methodist table, and everyone, regardless of denomination, is cordially invited to partake of the sacrament with us. So please keep this in mind. Also, I would remind us that our way of doing this, and we're getting used to it now, we come to the altar rail by the center aisle, and we go all the way to each end. There, the communion stewards will be waiting with the elements, and then they will come toward the center, administering the communion. And stay as long as you wish, and pray. I think a church that prays together stays together, as do families. So let us do this in a very public way as well as in our private way. And then as people leave, they go back to their pews by the outside aisles, let others take their place. And the communion stewards, we will be there ready to administer by the time you get there. So now let us hear the invitation to the Lord's table. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Will you join me? Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. And we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. At this time, I invite the boys and girls to come forward. Would you come? Our crowd is growing. Good. Very nice. Everybody's in. Well, boys and girls, I want to tell you two ways that God talks to us. Two ways. Come on over here. There you go. Good deal. Now, you find both these ways in the Bible, because this is God's book, okay? Are we listening? Here we go. How do you like this way of God talking to us? Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not covet. Where was I reading from? Do anybody know the name of that? Ten Commandments. That is right. And do you know what? We can't do all those things. We're always messing up. Can you do the Ten Commandments? Can you? No? I can't either. You think they can do all the Ten Commandments? If anyone in here can do all the Ten Commandments, would you please stand? Do you see anybody standing? I can't. I don't see him. But guess what? God knew that too. And so he said, you know, that's what I really want. But people just aren't getting it. People just simply continue to break the Ten Commandments, and that's called sin. So then he sent another message to all of us, and it's in the Bible too. He sent Jesus. Jesus is his son, and Jesus showed us how to live. And you know what he did with sin? He forgave it. And he said, you come to me, everybody, that works hard and is just carrying all kinds of burdens, burdens of sin and pain and broken relationship. You come to me and I'm going to give you rest. Do you know why he does that? Because he loves us. So we've got two ways God talks to us. One's the Ten Commandments. That's what he really wants. But we can't do it. So the second one is the love of Jesus. Can you love? Jesus is with you, causing you to love. Can you all love?
Yeah.
You can't love? I bet you can. I know better. Can you love? See, Jesus is with you. He lets us love. And guess what? When we love so very much, when we love God and when we care, then we really want to please God. And that's when we go back to the Ten Commandments and say, which ones of these can I do because I love? Okay? So the Ten Commandments are so important because when we love God with everything we've got, then we go back to the Ten Commandments and say, I want to please God by honoring my father and my mother, by not stealing, by not killing. That is God's pleasure, but he sends Jesus to show us how to do it. Let us pray. Thank you, O God, for all the blessings you give us. Thank you for the Ten Commandments, even though we cannot keep them. Thank you for Jesus, for showing us how to love and forgive, because that's what Jesus does for us. And thank you for then letting us try the Ten Commandments through love. And for what success we have, we give you all the praise. Amen. And thank you all for coming up. As you know, we have a number of prayer concerns. They are indeed listed in our bulletin. And should you have others that we need to be aware of, please take the Ritual of Friendship pads. Of course, include your name and answer those questions. And also make note of who we need to be remembering in prayer. Now, at the conclusion of the prayers, instead of us repeating together the Lord's Prayer, today we're going to sing it. And the choir is going to be leading us, and we're going to sing the familiar Lord's Prayer that we have heard so often and that we love so much. We'll sing it together. Let us pray. This is the day that you have made, O Lord, and we rejoice, and we're very glad in it. And thank you so much for creating us here in this realm, for a time where we can live and where we can love, where we can share our creativity, where we can work and work hard and enjoy the fruits of our labor. Thank you, O Lord, for the opportunity to live in this country, for as imperfect as it may be, it is certainly, in Lincoln's word, the last great hope of the world with our way of doing government. Bless everyone, O Lord, as we try to govern. Bless us all. It's so easy to be critical. There's so much out there. But in our prayers, let us also be thankful for the goodness that we take for granted. Help us, O Lord, lift each other up, because there's so much good in all of us when we realize that Christ died for the world. That means he dies for you, for me, those different from us, for everyone. We confess, O Lord, that we simply have not looked toward the positive as we should. We have been quick to move into an area of despair. We've been disparaging. We've been critical. We've scratched our heads in wonderment. And sometimes we simply haven't done our part to make things better. So please, O Lord, as we confess our sin, help us deal with those things that hurt us the most. Help us deal with brokenness, with tension at work, with issues in the family. Help us deal with whatever puts us down financially. Help us deal by helping each other. Now, Lord, we have a list mentioned in our bulletin of prayer concerns. We lift all of them up, as well as those known secretly in our hearts. Let us take time in this prayer to lift to you these secrets of our hearts. We ask you, O Lord, to send us forth that we may indeed do what you want us to do in this realm. Send us forth to be your agents. Send us forth equipped by your Holy Spirit so that in our work and in our play, people look to us and see the love of Christ. All these things we pray in the name of Jesus, who taught us to sing together his prayer. The scripture lesson for today is found in John's Gospel, chapter number 6, beginning with verse 34 and then reading through 24, and then reading through 35. So hear the word of the Lord. So when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into boats and went to Capernaum looking for Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, you are not looking for me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for food that endures for eternal life. For the Son of Man will give to you, which the Son of Man will give to you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "What sign are you going to give us then, so that we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing?" "Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Amen. And here ends this reading from God's most holy word. Greater Than Our Sins, number 365, and on the screen. Please stand.
Thank you.
Will you join me in prayer? Let us pray. O God, be present with us during the preaching and the hearing of this sermon. And may your word for our day and the times in which we live be heard among these words and our reflections. Amen. Throughout the entire chapter 6 of John's Gospel, we have a central subject. It's called bread. Last Sunday, we dealt with the feeding of the 5,000 and also how Jesus walked on the water. And now, these folks were so intrigued by the multiplication of the loaves, 5 loaves and 2 fish, they want to see more happening. As a matter of fact, they want some more food. So here we have a crowd that's literally following Jesus, looking for him. Is he here? Is he there? And so they think they know where he is, and lo and behold, he's not there. But then someone says, let's go to Capernaum. That's where he lives. So they jump in boats, and they found him, and they ask a simple question, when did you get here? Well, Jesus is very, very well aware of what they want. One, they're naturally curious. Two, the miracle of the multiplication of the 5 loaves and 2 fish. One of the 7 signs that Jesus did in John's Gospel. So he asked them, what are you looking for, in essence, when he sees them coming? He starts preaching to them. He says, don't work for food that perishes, but work for food that is eternal, that gives you eternal life. And here we see something very important and very obvious. Jesus is speaking on 2 different levels. People here, all of us here, and we understand what food is all about. If I were to go into preaching and it say 12:15, perish the thought, you all would be getting hungry. You would be saying to me, Bill, the sacrament's not enough. My poor stomach feels like my throat's cut. Hurry up, Bill. And that's how human beings are. We are food-centered. Some of us that are a lot too heavy are literally digging our graves with our teeth. We love food so much. But you see, that is only on one level of existence. Jesus is very well aware that people want food. But he wants to talk about food on another level. Always remember, especially in John's Gospel, there are multiple levels of teaching, of reading, and of understanding, that Jesus speaks to people using more than one level, sometimes 2, even 3 levels of meaning. So too with bread. He concludes this passage that we read today anyway. He said, I am the bread of life. I am bread. The key 2 words for Jesus in John's Gospel is, the 2 words are, I am. Now it's keenly interested, very interesting, because do you remember what God said his name was to Moses as he stood in front of the burning bush and was ordered to take his shoes off because where he was standing is holy ground? Do you remember what God said that Jesus uses to Moses about God's name? Remember? I am that I am. You go tell Pharaoh that I am sent you. So you have this happening in the Old Testament, and Jesus picks up those 2 little words in the New Testament, and he puts definition to what God said to Moses that he was in the Old Testament. Now, Jesus has a number of I ams. A tremendous word study is to go through the New Testament and see how many different ways Jesus uses I am.
It's a predicate nominative. I am, it's like I equal bread. I equal way, truth, and life. I equal gate, and so on. I equal vine. This is who God is through Christ. I am the bread of life. But the people come to him thinking about bread on one level. He says, I'm going to give you bread that's eternal. Well, what are we going to do? What kind of sign are you going to give us? Our ancestors got a sign from Moses, and it was manna. That was bread. Jesus corrects them, says, that wasn't Moses. That was God. That is the bread of God, manna. Now, it did not take long for the ancient church fathers to start making analogies. If God's bread is manna in the Old Testament, and God's bread through Jesus is eternal life in the New Testament, then Old Testament bread must be the law of Moses, and New Testament bread must be the love of Christ, or the law of love. And bingo, we have the message that Jesus is trying to tell these dear people who are running around hungry. Physical bread is what they're looking for, but Jesus is not going to give it to them again. He is going to give them the bread of life, which is eternal. Well, what do we need to do? Well, all you've got to do is believe on me. Believe that I'm the Son of God. Believe that what I've got to say is the answer to your problems, your neighbor's problems, indeed the world's problems. Believe that love, the love of Jesus, not just love that's manipulative. Far too often we get caught up in love that's manipulating people to get something else that people want. That is not love, that's manipulation. But unqualified love is what Jesus gives to us as the bread of life. It is the answer to our issues and the world's issues. And I wonder what God thinks when he's given the way of peace to the world in Jesus. I wonder what he thinks when we humans tell him that's not good enough. We want force. We want it my way. We'll have it my way or you take the highway. Do not we hear this inside our own minds? Do not we hear this in the workplace? Do not we hear this in the political arena? And I wonder what God thinks. I wonder what he thinks. You mean my son is not good enough? I gave you the answers to the world's problems, but you just look away and you walk away and you want to deal just with these world's values, not with the divine and eternal values. The issue was Jesus in his day, and it is our issue today. But we're not giving up. Every time we have the sacrament, we remind ourselves we are followers of Jesus. We follow the bread of life. We follow the law of love. And because we follow that law of love, we're going to keep those Ten Commandments as best we can because we love God. God. He gives manna. He gives Jesus. The choice is ours. We can live for these values, but we're always going to be hungry. Or we can live for the values that are eternal. The bread of life. That which is symbolized in the body and blood of the sacraments. We can live on this level, and then that lets our other issues take a much dimmer view in what's most important for eternity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Will you join me now in the great thanksgiving? Please respond to the versicle. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then, when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Amen. We are continuing our custom as we come about the altar rail to leaving tithes and offerings in the little slot behind the altar rail. This is a powerful symbol in that when we come about the rail and receive God's grace, we give back to God a portion of what he's let us earn so that he can use our money to further his work throughout the mission, his mission in the world. Let those who are assisting with the sacrament, would you come up? This is the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Drink this and remember that Christ's blood was shed for you.